I want to share with you something that's been on my heart for quite some time. I want to demystify this thing that we call faith. We hear it weekly. If you listen to podcasts or if you listen to sermons, they will bring out this aspect of faith. But you know, one of the things that that concerns me is that very few Christians really know what it means to walk in faith in their lives. Walk in faith in their marriage, in their finances, in their health, their relationship, in guidance, in wisdom, in making right decisions. God wants us to be people of faith. And the subject of faith is challenging. You know, how to be successful in business, that's it. Learn how to walk in faith. It's encouraging and thought-provoking when we talk about faith. But it's an exciting topic because it brings you into the realm where God dwells, where God operates. And in Hebrews 11, it's called the Hall of Faith, this particular chapter. These ordinary men and women like you and I, just like you and I, have challenges. We've failed many times. They have failed many times. And yet these men knew how to overthrow kingdoms, rule with justice, obtain promises, shut the mouth of lions. Their weakness turned to strength, became strong in battle, and put whole armies to flight. How did they overcome obstacles? By faith. How did they turn their weakness into strength? Gideon, for instance, by faith. How did they obtain promises? By faith. How did they shut the mouth of lions? By faith. Some failed the first time, like the guy that got swallowed by the whale. Jonah. It was coming to me. But he had a second chance. And that shows me that God is the God of the second chance. And I'm so glad that God is the God of second chance. How many of us would have missed it if God wasn't the God of second chance? How did they do it? By faith. In Hebrews 6:12, it says, this is from a modern translation, it says, don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. Now, Holy Spirit reminded me it's time to pray because God wants you to have listening ears and understanding hearts. He wants His word to be sown on good soil. You ready for it? Father, in the name of Jesus, turn the soil of our hearts over. Let it be ready to receive the seed of the word of God. That, Father God, we'll not only be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word. That we will learn to operate and walk in faith. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, these people were called cloud of witnesses. And I don't know if you understand this, but they're actually looking over the balcony of heaven and saying, listen, you can do it. Don't give up. Don't give up. The promise is there. It's yours. But how often we fail and we give up. And these cloud of witnesses are saying to us, stay the course. Keep your focus. Yes, you might have blown it. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, looks down and he says to those that have blown it, hey, listen, I blew it. I've blown it. But I came back. Some of you have been doubting. You've doubted the goodness of God. The enemy loves to bring doubts to God's people. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Is God trying to hold something back from you? And the Apostle Thomas is looking down and said, listen, please. He's tapping you on the shoulder right now. He said, listen, I doubted. And many people reminded me of the fact that I doubted. But I got on track. Kept my focus. There are people up there, loved ones, maybe some of your loved ones, who are saying, stay the course, keep your focus. Don't give up. Yes, I know at times we have challenges, but we have the Holy Spirit drawn alongside us to help us. You see, the Bible speaks about how we walk by faith, live by faith, pray in faith, resist the devil by faith, overcome the world by faith, stand fast in faith, continue in faith, be strong in faith, abound in faith, be grounded in faith. Why? Why? Because faith pleases God. You want to please God? Learn to operate in faith. I know it's basic. I know it's basic, but I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to bring this message to such a level that a young child can understand the importance of faith. It is so important for us today. We're living in a world that's constantly doubting, contradicting. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. Faith pleases God. When you have confidence in God, it pleases Him. When you have confidence in His promises and His word, it pleases Him. And so if faith is so important to our spiritual growth, what is it? Hebrews 11 verse 1. What is faith? He says, now this is from the Amplified. He says, now faith, notice, the first word, when I ask people, okay, recite to me Hebrews 11, verse 1, they'll say faith is. But what's the first word? It's now faith. If it's tomorrow's faith, you're hoping. If it's yesterday's faith, it's gone. It's now faith, present faith, now faith is the substance. Let me read from the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. See, when we purchased our property, our church property, we were given the title deed, which is a legal document, as you know. But that's what faith is. Faith is a legal document of proof of ownership of God's promises for you and me. It's like paying the mortgage on your house. It's a commitment until you finally receive the title that He say it's yours. And faith can be like that. It's a commitment of speaking the word of God and until it becomes a reality. Hallelujah. Many of us speak the word of God but then give up and never see the reality. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, another modern translation says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us even though we cannot see it up ahead. Faith is trusting God. It's simply trusting God. It's trusting in His word. It's believing who He says He is. So where does faith come from? Well, this is what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8. Paul says, by faith you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You know, I never understood that verse, what it really meant, until the Holy Spirit opened my understanding. The gift that you receive is faith. It's the faith that you receive as a gift. Let me say something to you. This is very, very important. You know, when you got saved, you didn't say, Jesus, I'm here, come into my heart, be Lord of my life, I want to live my life for you. Now, you never said that without first God imparting the gift of faith into you. to receive. Salvation has nothing to do with what you do. It's all to do what he has done on your behalf. You getting it? So when you, when God begins to quicken something in you and your heart, I'm going to respond. God puts faith. He puts faith for you to receive. Because you cannot receive on your own. You cannot receive by just confession. How many of us have led people to the Lord and then they've gone away? Never ever wanted to carry on in their so-called Christian life. I wonder if God had imparted faith into them. You have to receive the faith of God to receive the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. Faith is a gift. And this verse that says that faith is a gift of God, even the faith that we receive when we receive Christ into our lives. You know, we all have human faith. But there is a supernatural faith that only comes to those who've received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. You know, human faith can only believe things of what they see, hear, taste, smell, touch. It's limited to our five senses. You know, using human faith, you go and sit on a chair. You never question it, you just sit on it. Human faith gets on a plane. You don't know the pilot. You don't know what the plane is like. You get on it and believe that you'll get to your destination. Human faith. And everything will be okay. That takes human faith, what God gives to everyone. We have human faith. What if I asked you to sit on a chair in the dark? Now just sit there. It's all dark now. There's a chair behind you. Now sit down. Now if I say to you, listen, there's a chair over there. Would you sit on it? And you saw the chair only had three legs. The fourth one had been broken off. Or if I would say to you, listen, I've just bought you a ticket to go overseas and this plane's ready to go. And you look at the plane. The plane's got the one engine's gone. It's shot. The tires are flat. Human faith would say, no way. No way, Jose, I won't go on that plane. I'm not going to sit on that chair. I can't see it. And that's because human faith looks at this, is operated by the senses in which we operate in. What I'm asking you to say, when that happens, you start to question, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sit on that chair. I'm not going to go onto that plane. But when it comes to God, we have to believe things we haven't even seen. You cannot see it. That's what faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. You haven't seen God. You haven't seen the devil. You haven't seen heaven or hell. You haven't seen your sins forgiven. However, you have to believe for those things to happen for you to receive eternal life. You cannot see it with the senses. How can you believe in things you can't see? The answer that you can't believe in invisible things with human faith. We cannot believe in invisible things with our human faith. Human faith only believes in tangible things, what we can see, touch, taste, and so on. But for things you cannot see, you need God's supernatural faith. So how does that happen? In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." The word measure means a determined amount of faith. If you are cooking or baking a sponge cake, you have the ingredients and you have a certain measure for each ingredient to make that cake to be beautiful, to be baked in the right way. And when you became a Christian, God has given to each one a measure of faith to give us all that we need to live a successful life in our Christian walk. You know, that faith may be the size of a mustard seed, but it's enough to operate in your life to bring everything that God has purposed and planned for your life. And as Christians, we should never say, I don't have any faith. Because God clearly states that he has given each one of us a measure of faith. But have you noticed that some Christians, their faith seems to grow stronger and stronger than others? Why? Well, faith is like a muscle. We're all born with a measure of muscle. But some of us develop our muscles better than others. Bodybuilders, for example, exercise their muscles very regularly and make them grow bigger and strong. My grandson, Benji, he's 9 years of age, and often he would, when he comes over our house, he would take off his T-shirt and say, have a look at this, Papa. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to look at? Well, have a look at this. Then he said the other day, he said, have a look at my stomach. I'm getting a six pack. I thought, mate, you can see, that's faith moving there already. I can't see it. And he's only nine. But he's working on it. And praise God, your measure of faith grows when you feed on it. When you feed it and use it. Each time you hear the word of God, faith is starting to grow in your life. When you confess God's word and expect good things to happen to you, you are using it. And the more you use it, the more your faith grows. How many of us have said, when I pray for people, and, you know, the sick and nothing seemed to change. Then I say to them, well, how many have you prayed? Oh, I prayed for about 8, maybe 9. Pray for 100 and then come back to me and tell me what's happened. Pray in faith and believe that something significant is going to happen. When you start to pray, see, for instance, and I don't say this big-headedly, I say this very humbly, my faith level for the area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is high because I constantly exercise praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just recently came back from India about 5 weeks ago, and then from India to Indonesia. In Indonesia, we had about 250 baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's not the most that I've seen in one time. In Indonesia, I saw 300 people filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus doing what only he can do. And that's baptize them in the Holy Spirit. In one sitting, I'm talking about. And so that level of faith, the reason why is because I've exercised the faith to pray for people, position them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so when someone says to you, well, I prayed for someone and nothing's changed in their life, their situation hasn't changed, they're still sick and so on, keep praying and pray more. Look for opportunities where you can pray, and then what will happen? Your faith will start to grow and you'll start to see results in your life. So your faith is built up and strengthened by exercising. But you also realize that your faith is built and strengthened by praying in the Holy Ghost. In Jude 20, it says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, that has two aspects. Praying in the Holy Spirit is praying with the mind and the direction of the Holy Spirit, but it also means praying with your spirit, the language that the Holy Spirit has given you. And when you pray in tongues, you're actually strengthening your faith. You're strengthening your faith to believe what you want to receive and what you want to see happen in your life. And what is this? So what is this faith for? Or who is this faith for? It's for every born-again believer. If you're a born-again believer, this faith is for you to learn to operate to be pleasing to God. So you see, faith prepares us for the journey because God doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to live in confusion. So faith, will prepare us for the journey instead of fear. Faith is fixing our attention on what we cannot see. And as Christians, we are now a people of faith, which means God wants us to move and operate in that arena of faith that He operates in. Our day-to-day lives are to consist of a faith walk. In order to grow from faith to faith, the faith must be exercised on a regular basis. Every day we face problems and challenges. That gives us opportunities to move in faith. What kind of faith picture do you have for your life? For your family? Your marriage? Your job? Your business? Do you know that it is God's will for you to prosper in those areas of your life? And God is saying to us, don't settle for second best. God wants you to, through faith, to come into the fullness of what He has for you and I. Faith is being convinced that God would take charge of the situation. Let me read to you Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, looking away from all that will distract you to Jesus. Looking away from all that will distract you to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. Looking away. Let me ask you a question. Is there something that's distracting you? Is there something that tends to draw you aside? The writer of the Hebrews says, look away, look unto. Look away, look unto. Look away from those things that are distracting you. Look unto Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. Remember the story of Peter? He said, command me to walk on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter got out of the boat, but then he got distracted. And how often we may start moving in the miraculous, may start moving in something powerful in God, but then we look at the thing that's distracting us. And God is saying, don't look at the things that distract you. Keep your eyes fixed and firmly on Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look unto Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Look away and look to Jesus. Someone asked me, how does faith differ from the gift of faith? Every person, every Christian has faith. But not every Christian operate in the gift of faith. Many Christians grow in faith continually. But no Christian has the gift of faith continually. Every Christian shows faith in their lives. Some have weak faith, some have strong faith, some have great faith. But then there's also the faith which is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's to develop our character. It's part of our character development, the fruit of the Spirit. A person grows and develop in their Christian life and character. The faith that we have for daily living is different from the gift of faith. The gift of faith is given by the Holy Spirit as He wills, according to Romans 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, nine gifts of the Spirit. The gift of faith. You know, when you look in the Bible, you see many times how the gift of faith was operated. For instance, Jesus. He told His disciples to get in the boat, and He got in the boat as well. And He went in the bow of the boat, saw a pillar there, put His head on the pillar, and He's sound asleep. Suddenly a storm arose. And the disciples were so scared, they woke Him up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And the Bible says He rebuked the storm. He said, peace, be still. And this is what He said to the disciples. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Remember the story of Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful? You find that in Acts 3. They saw this man. Crippled. He's been there for probably a number of years. And he's out there begging, hoping to receive something from the disciples. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand. That's the gift of faith. Took him by, and walking and leaping, he began to praise God. The word "in the name of" to a Jewish mind means to live in the life of, is to be in the name and living the life of. That means my life got to be living his life. I need to surrender so that he can live his life in and through me. And so I can say, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." When I was in the Philippines, the guy was blind in one eye, just white, in his right eye. And my friend and myself, we began to pray for him. And I'm looking at this eye, and I'm seeing the white remove, begin to recede from his eye, and the brown pupil of his eye began to appear. And he said, "I can see, I can see, I can see." Began to run around the ring, the basketball ring. That was the gift of faith. Now, I'd love to operate it every time, but it's as the Spirit wills. But as I begin to open to myself, you know, for instance, when you think of Paul in Acts 16, he went to the riverbanks where there was a prayer meeting. And this young girl began to scream out his name. He said, "These men are the men of the Most High. They will show you the way of salvation." What was the way of salvation to her? She was speaking from a demonic spirit. If you read the occasion, Paul became agitated in his spirit. He rebuked that spirit and cast it out of her. How did he do it? By the gift of faith. I know Pastor would understand this as well. There was times in the old days where we used to beg and plead and shout and yell and holler and so on for those demons to come out, and nothing happened. And some people would put a bucket in front of them, just in case. But you know, when you operate in the gift of faith, they'll come in that very same hour, as it says about Jesus. The gift of faith. Is the gift of faith available to all the gifts available, as the Holy Spirit wills? And so we see here, Paul was able to operate in the gift of faith in driving out that demonic spirit. You know, The men like Smith Wigglesworth and Catherine Kuhlman, powerful people of God, that moved in the gift of faith. And God used them mightily in the gift of faith. You know, I tried to move in the gift of faith once when I was a teenager. I used to play competitive tennis. And this particular day, it started off beautiful, beautiful blue sky. This is back in Adelaide. And then I heard that it's going to rain later. And I think, well, don't rain. Rain after, say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Don't rain before then. I want to play this game. Because I knew I can beat this guy, because I beat him before. And so I'm saying, and then the clouds come over. And so my faith started to rise. Started to rise. And I looked fair and square at those clouds. And I said, "Go this way and go that way." And guess what happened? They came this way and they pelted down rain. And I said, "In the name of Jesus." And nothing happened. Well, something did happen. We got soaked. And the game was had to be cancelled. The gift of faith is given as the Holy Spirit wills. And it can happen to this morning. But I'm talking about growing faith, ever-increasing faith in your life and in my life. How do we access and grow in this faith? Well, first of all, you need to recognize you already have a measure of faith. But secondly, in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In the original, it's a continuous tense. Faith cometh by hearing, by hearing, by hearing. By hearing the word of God. That when we speak the word of God continually, until you see that word activated in your life. In Romans 10, verse 8, it says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart." That is, The word of faith which we preach. What you're hearing now is generating faith in your life. Did you know that? Faith is being starting to grow. It's being stirred in your life. As you listen to this message, that's what's happening. Faith is starting to be stirred in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, but since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. Believe and speak. Some people can believe in their heart, but when they share what they believe, the person they talk to can talk them out of what they believe. And so their confession is different to what they originally believed. So my confession has to be the same as what I believe in my heart. That's what it means. Then it goes on here. I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. In Luke 6 verse 45, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now the translation says, what you say flows from what's in your heart. So let your heart become abundant with the word of God. You know, I used to have a problem with smoking. Anyone here still has a problem with that? I'm just checking. Okay. Any smokers? Preacher said to me once, he said, smoking won't get you to hell, but you sure smell like you've been there. I said, well, that's a word of encouragement. Okay. Are you operating in love? And I said, God, I'd try everything. I'd go to the chemist, what's new on the market, and try the new pills. Nothing happened. I'd go to Christian camps and never even feel like a cigarette. As soon as I got home, I wanted to have a cigarette. I was a sneaky person with cigarettes because I didn't want my mother-in-law to know that I smoked. So I used to get the cigarettes and I'd put a peg on the cigarette, and I'd use the peg and there's the smoke. And I'd take my shirt off. And it's freezing outside. Take my shirt off, smoke, then put my shirt back, wash my hands and put some whatever on me. Didn't work. But I couldn't get out. And I said, God, please help me. God said, and this is how the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, have you ever seen a dead man smoke? Put your hand up if you've ever seen a dead man smoke. My father-in-law used to smoke, and when he was dead, you know, and his family members didn't come and say, listen, give me one to go on the journey. And they put one in. God said to me, can a dead man smoke? No. So I shared this once. And this smart aleck, you always get smart alecks. He puts his hand up and he said, yes, I have. He said, when my uncle got cremated. I thought, mamma mia. Mamma mia, goodness me. What planet do you come from? And God showed me that Romans 6 and Galatians 2:20 was the key. When Jesus died, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. When he rose again, I arose with him in newness of life. And what was left in the tomb? Grave clothes. My old life. A picture of my old. Say, smoking habits only have a hold over the old life, not of the new life in Christ. But my mind was so convinced. The devil would say to me, you might as well live the fact that you've got this for life. Just accept it. And that's what Satan's been saying to some of you this morning. The Holy Spirit just said that to me. He's been saying, listen, you got this thing for life. Your mindset, the way you think about things, the way you operate, the way this thing has been holding you down. And guys, be careful what you watch. And I won't go any more. Because the enemy will say, you might as well live the fact that, listen, you've got this for life. You've tried to give it up. You prayed, you fasted, you've done everything you could to try and to defeat this, and it's been a problem. So accept it. Listen, don't accept what the lies of the enemy. Your old nature is dead. Those things only have power of the old nature, but you have the nature of Christ. It is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I have the life of Christ. And so for 3 weeks, I would just continue. I didn't fight the habit. Here's the key. Don't fight the habit, because you fight the habit, you're in the flesh. So I didn't fight the habit. I simply renewed the mind. Faith cometh by. And every time, I was a printer by profession, and so I was operating my printing press machines and so on. kept on smoking. Thank you, Father, this smoking no longer has a hold on me. I know it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Thank you, Father, this smoking no longer. What? It's, you know, and Satan would say, it's got a hold on you. And said, no, it hasn't. Thank you, Father God, my whole life is dead. And smoking only has life, power over a life that is alive. But I'm dead in Christ. I'm alive to God, but dead in Christ, in Jesus' name. Our life is finished. And after 3 weeks, I felt something click in my life. Something was born in my faith began to rise. And I came home and I said to my wife, I want you to agree with me. The word says, if two of you agree on earth is touching anything, it'll be agreed in heaven. Come on, agree with me. And as soon as we agreed to get and we prayed, we felt that spirit, demonic spirit of nicotine leave my body, and I knew I was set free. Behind every habit is a demon. Believe me. Set free. Let me finish with this. Illustration from Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 14. And so now, the next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree full of leaves away off, and so he went over to see if he could find any figs, but there was only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard him say it. Now that's a clue. That evening, Jesus and the disciples left the city. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree, which he had cursed, the disciples noticed that it had withered from the roots up. The unseen first. Peter remembered what Jesus said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, Lord, look, Rabbi, the fig tree that you cursed has withered and died. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown in the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe. It will happen, and have no doubts in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you don't believe what you've and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Have faith in God. The Greek rendering of that is this: have the God kind of faith. And Jesus used the fig tree as an illustration of exercising the God kind of faith. And there were two things to notice about the God kind of faith. First, we need to believe in our heart. And secondly, we need to believe with the words that we speak. It's not enough to believe in your heart. You must believe the words that you speak. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, but since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. Believe and speak. We also believe and therefore speak. Believing in the heart and saying it with the mouth is the key to faith. And this is referred to as the law of faith, the principle of the God kind of faith. This is the same kind of faith that God used when he created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. How did God do it? He believed that what he said will come to pass, and it happened. God called those things which do not exist as though they did. And in the creation of our world, the Holy Spirit gave me a picture of himself hovering over the expanse. The Holy Spirit again reminded me that that's what he's doing to you right now. He's hovering over you. He's waiting for the words. If he hears, oh, I've tried that before, it doesn't happen, he just hovers. If you say, well, you know, my friend believed this to happen and he died, he just hovers. Oh, I don't know, you know, I just don't have any faith. He just waits. He hovers. But the moment you start speaking, I believe, he activates the words that you speak. Church, you don't have to be a pastor to operate in this level. You just be a person that believes in your heart and confesses with your mouth. Let me finish with this. two things, very short. When Reinhard Bonnke, that mighty evangelist, first went to Africa, he said, God, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just a novice. I'm just, you know, what people expecting so much out of these crusades. And God, I don't know. What can I do? And God spoke to him. He said, the words in your mouth are just as powerful as the words that are in my mouth. The words that are spoken through your mouth, brother, is just as powerful as the words that are spoken through his mouth. Church, believe it. Believe it for your family. Believe it for your finance. Believe it for your if sickness in the family. Believe it. Believe it. The words in your mouth is just as great as the words that are in God's mouth. And this is what I finish with. If you're sick in body this morning, this word's for you. We have fact. And we have truth. The fact is, I have a murmuring heart. That's a fact. I do. Irregular heartbeat. That's fact. The truth is, by his stripes I'm healed. The fact is, I've got a back problem. The truth is, by his stripes, healing is the children's bread. Fact says that I'm struggling with depression. Truth says his peace garrisons my mind, acts as an umpire. Fact says I struggle financially. Truth says that he supplies all our needs according to his riches. What are you focusing on? Fact or truth? What are you focusing on? If you have a need, whether it's physical, financial, whatever, I want you to stand where you are right now. Just stand where you are. If it's a physical, is it something that you're believing for, wanting to see happen? Now, this is the facts. What we're hearing, we're seeing now is fact. You don't need to tell me, but you have facts now. The fact is, and you cannot deny the fact. We're not here saying you don't have it when you do have it. Okay? That's ultra faith, which is nothing. Fact is, I've got this. This is a problem I have. The fact is, I want to have a child, but nothing's happening. Truth says that God will open up my womb like he did to Samuel's mother. This is the fact. You have a choice now to focus on the fact or the focus on the truth. You have a choice now to confess the facts or confess the truth of God's word. What do you want to do?